Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And you can watch our show on Facebook. Just go to Today's Issues Facebook and watch the live video streaming of the program if you'd like to, or listen on our app. Just download the app for American Family Radio. I am Tim, and Walker is not here today. All you Walker fans should be back tomorrow. So he's on official business, which sometimes he uses that excuse to go deer hunting, calls it official business. But he's not deer hunting today. He's at a meeting for us in our nation's capital. Ray Pritchard is with me from Dallas. Good morning again, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
And Steve Jordahl from American Family Radio News has stepped in. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray. You mentioned at the top that it's the name of the show is Today's Issues. I was thinking that's a good thing because yesterday's issues, no one would listen. Tomorrow's issues, I have a feeling that someone from the CIA would want to get in touch with us. So you named it well.
Good point. Duly noted, Steve. I'll tell you what. You know, they say about Christmas, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, they do.
Well, now that mid-January is arriving, for most of the country this would be the case, it's the most depressing time of the year.
For a lot of people.
Well, no college football, okay, for another, how many, 8 months?
First things first.
Right.
First things first. Also, for the outdoorsmen and those who like to be working the yard, or those who like to
be on official business,
go golfing like I do, or go fishing. Although fishermen, right, they can go in lower temperatures. It's just for most parts of the country, it's too cold to do any of that, and it gets dark at 5:30.
Yeah.
So you're probably thinking, Tim, I know all this. Why do you have to remind me? But I'll just say this: March will be here before we know it.
Well, you got football on the weekends through January and maybe even into February, and then mid-February, then NASCAR picks up. And I know everybody out there is anxious for the Daytona 500.
Steve's a big NASCAR fan, Ray. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's a big NASCAR fan. So who's your favorite driver, Steve?
Well, it was Jeff Gordon, and of course, so he retired. So I've been kind of watching Chase Elliott. I'm from Colorado, so Martin Truex Jr., who won the championship last year, has a shop. He races out of Denver, and I like him. So I don't know. I haven't really picked a.
Now the Daytona 500 is coming up.
It is.
When is that? February?
It's February 20 something.
That's the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
It is. They start with their Super Bowl for some reason. It's the biggest race of the year, and it's the biggest race of the year.
Yeah. You ever been to the?
Not to the Daytona. No.
What race have you been to?
I've been to one in Phoenix. My daughter lived not too far from the racetrack, and I went there with one of my friends who happened to know somebody at the track because he works for Apple, and he got us pit passes during the race.
How was that?
Oh, man, that was fantastic. We were right down there on pit road when they're fueling the cars. And then I happened to go to a friend of mine from California that I worked with for a while when I lived there. Is a NASCAR fan as well, and I got us some tickets to the night race at Bristol.
I've been there.
And through a number of turns of fortune, we ended up in a suite with the biggest suite on the track with a lot of politicians.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then I've been to, since I've been here, I've been to Talladega twice.
Mm-hmm. Talladega.
Talladega.
Talladega, big super speedway there.
Baby.
All right, Talladega, baby.
Talladega, baby.
All right, Steve, besides upcoming NASCAR season, what else are you interested in?
And we could talk about that for a half an hour, but we won't. So there's an Iranian oil tanker that's burning in East China Sea. It ran into a cargo ship, and for 3 days it's been burning out of control. They don't know where the crew is. If there's anybody alive, they're afraid it's going to explode. My question to you, Tim and Ray, what is an Iranian oil tanker doing in the East China Sea? I'm just wondering.
You know, that's interesting. That's the first I've heard of that story. Have you heard about this, Ray?
I heard there was some kind of, you know, that I heard about the ship burning up. I hadn't even thought about it. So If it's full of oil, Steve, was it coming? Was it going? Where was it heading?
The tanker was carrying nearly a million barrels of condensate, a type of glassy ultralight oil, when it collided with a Hong Kong registered CF Crystal.
Is that near? Could Iran be sending oil to North Korea? Is that what you're suggesting?
It's certainly on the way. That's all I'm saying. I don't know, but it's certainly on the way. And they've been
catching. You're in the neighborhood. Yeah.
They've been catching some South Korean or Chinese boats. Mm-hmm. They caught dumping oil, transferring oil out at sea there. So I'm just saying it's right on the way to North Korea. But yeah, so they're watching that. They don't know if it explodes, then it's an ecological disaster to dump a million barrels of oil into the ocean right there.
Why would Iran be hooked up with North Korea in any way, Ray?
Well, they share the same, they share some of the same goals in the world. Iran has the oil. North Korea is developing nuclear capability. So you could see they're making kind of a trade-off. Well, North Korea says, we'll provide you with a nuclear bomb, something, some kind of warhead, some kind of technology. And Iran says, we'll provide oil. That becomes a sweet deal on both
sides.
Yeah,
but Iran is motivated. Their leaders are motivated by religion,
right?
By their view of Islam, and the leader of North Korea is a atheist, I guess, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, what if North Korea said, we can provide you with a low level dirty bomb, so to speak, that you could use? You put that in the hands of the Iranians. Suddenly, they've become exponentially more dangerous, if that's possible, in the Middle East. This is one time where hatred probably trumps religion or irreligion.
I think you're right. I know that it's been suspected for a long time that Iran has been helping North Korea with their nuclear ambitions. It's been going that way. So Iran is developing the technology, and they've been, according to many suspicions, have been sending that technology to North Korea. They both would like to poke a finger in the U.S. eye, so.
Mm-hmm. We've only got one eye?
We're cycloptic.
Well, I guess it would be, Santa poke finger in the U.S. eyes would be redundant.
Well, yeah, one finger to a.
Yeah. Next story, Steve.
Hey, guess who's running for Senate in Arizona?
I don't know. Who's
Joe Arpaio.
Really?
Yeah, he's come out. He's going to be running for the Senate seat that was held by Jeff Flake. Mm-hmm. And so it's another kind of a Trump insurgent-type candidate that wants in.
But now, don't they already have Kelly Ward?
Well, she's running as well.
So they're going to both run against each other on the Republican side?
Well, no, I don't know, because there's John McCain, who is battling cancer, and all indications are he probably will not be able to. He might not be able to serve out his term for health reasons. So there's his seat, and then there's Jeff Flake, who's retired.
So there are maybe two. Okay.
Both seats are up for grabs. One is going to be a duly elected. I think Flake's seat will be duly elected at the end, and he's run his full term. McCain, if there's a special, it would have to be a special election because for medical reasons, he's not able to fulfill.
Kelly Ward, I've heard really good things about.
As a
candidate in Arizona, she's supposed to be a really strong conservative.
So what does the president do about this? I mean, Joe Arpaio feels like, he owes him a lot because Trump pardoned him and so on. But Kelly Ward is an excellent candidate, as you just said. So does the president sit this out? Endorse one or the other?
Excuse me for interrupting. Is this two separate races?
This is what Fox News says. The polarizing yet iconic former Maricopa County sheriff, beloved by many conservatives for his hawkish immigration policies, presents an alternative to State Senator Kelly Ward and a potential obstacle to Representative Martha McSally. She is expected to launch within days and is widely viewed as the Republican strongest general election candidate. Talking about McSally, sounds like they'd be going after the same seat.
Like most states.
This is going to end up to be Alabama all over again. Hopefully no one comes up with that kind of dirt on Arpaio, but Arpaio is a Roy Moore type figure, divisive in the liberal media and outspoken.
Plus, you know, Steve, he is 85 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really old to be running for the Senate. Wouldn't the Republicans be better off putting a younger conservative
sure.
woman in a Senate seat? Wouldn't they be better off?
Yep.
So I'm wondering if wouldn't the president, we're just thinking politically here, wouldn't he be better off either to sit it out or to go with Kelly Ward or the other one you said?
Well, he's out of his sheriff's job, and so I think, maybe
looking for something to do.
Looking for something to do. Strike while the iron's lukewarm. Because he's, might have a book coming out. I don't know.
I don't understand an 85-year-old man wanting to run for anything myself. But
and yet.
And yet he is. He announced he was?
He's announced,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know that the leadership in Congress has been meeting with the president. They're at a big powwow today at the White House. And they're talking about
Democrats and Republicans.
Yes, Democrats and Republicans, although not leadership. So Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are not there. I don't think Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are there either. What Trump has surrounded himself with the people within the parties across the aisle that he thinks he can strike a deal with on this funding bill and immigration. So DACA is on the table. At least they're talking about whether they should include the Dreamers in this. And then there's also the chain migration and all the other things. Sandy Rios had a very interesting guest this morning on her show. His name is Daniel Horowitz. We've talked with him a lot. And so this is what he had to say. Now, the first voice you're going to hear is going to be Sandy setting up this question. And then listen to what Daniel Horowitz says.
Do you think, at this point, knowing what you know, that the Democrats will use this whole issue of legalizing the Dreamers to shut down the government on January the 20th?
The good news is I don't think they will. The bad news is the reason I don't think they will is because Republicans will probably give it to them as a standalone within the next 2 months or so. Even if you agree in the abstract with some sort of amnesty at some point, what is so offensive about this is that there's a sense of urgency and emergency to grant amnesty when amnesty is the problem. There's no sense of urgency to fix immigration for Americans. Where is the sense of urgency to deal with the asylum problem, the refugee problem, the open border, the overstaying of the visas, the lack of employer verification? And then we have obviously a diversity lottery, chain migration. These are emergency issues economically, security-wise, for sure, and they should be dealt with irrespective of what you want to do with amnesty. No one says, time out. Why don't we have an American DACA, deferred action from criminal aliens?
That's a good idea, huh?
That's a classic line right
yeah.
there. That's clever.
That's a good line. But it's true. So we don't know what they're going to come out with from this meeting. But
okay, so let's set this up again. And I don't know, this really gets people's juices flowing when you talk about federal government spending and budgets and all that. I don't know what gets more people more excited than to talk about that. Wouldn't you say, Ray?
Well, look, anything to do with how the government spends money, people can understand that. So, a lot of legislation is rather abstract or arcane, but money people can understand, and they really get upset.
Once again, I was half satirical.
I didn't think Ray saw your satire face.
Yeah, Ray gets it most of the time. But I would say this. Here you have the, quote, government is about to run out of money again. This is the never-ending story, right? And like most Americans, I just yawn at that one because our government, federal government, is never going to run out of money. If we ever run out of money, then our whole world changes, and we're all going to be in that boat together. But for now, we have printing machines, and we can borrow as much money as we want to infinity. Now, I know people are going, Tim, that's impossible. That defies the laws of economics. Well, I would just submit to you Exhibit A, which is $20 trillion in debt. I was at one time a believer that we could be harmed by debt. I no longer believe that. Now, please don't get mad at me. You can disagree, and that's fine.
I need a new car, Tim.
Huh?
Well, since debt doesn't matter to you.
No, debt matters on a personal level, but you don't have a printing machine in your garage.
True.
Okay, if you had a
that you know about.
If you had a printing machine in your garage, then it wouldn't matter.
Right.
It wouldn't. You see my point?
Yes.
So, so here's the situation. We're quote staring down a potential government shutdown again. When? In 2 weeks? Week? What is that? What's the date?
It's next week, isn't it?
It is soon.
Okay, it's next
to be
week.
Honest, though, and I don't want to derail from what you're talking about, but this is really their meeting about immigration irrespective of a budget here.
Well, yes
more
and no.
Or less.
But what you have here, what I'm my point is that they're going to pass another continuing resolution, I guess, coming up, just like the Democrats did when they were in control. The Republicans are now passing continuing resolutions instead of doing a proper budgetary process, as Paul Ryan promised when he took over the speakers.
Right.
Speaker position in the House of Representatives. But they're at a negotiating point. Mm-hmm. And the president is going to try to get funding for the security wall.
Right.
The border security wall on the Mexican border that he ran on. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And in return, the Democrats are going to try to get, and some Republicans too, the amnesty, if that's what you want to call it, I guess, for the Dreamers.
Right.
The Dreamers are the DACA people. So
deferred action.
Yeah.
Right.
They are people who were brought to the U.S. Illegally by adults.
Right.
Right. And they've grown up in America. This is the only country they've ever known. And they don't have legal citizenship.
Correct.
So the question is what to do with them.
Right.
What's the fair thing to do with them? And so that's what the debate is about. So right. I guess President Trump is wanting to trade funding for the wall in return from, I guess, votes from Democrats to support that.
Right.
In return for allowing these Dreamers, these DACA folks, to have what, legal citizenship here?
To stay, whether it's citizenship,
go ahead. What do you know about this?
Well, isn't the deal to move them off the? You know, they're kind of hanging out there in limbo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So isn't the idea when we say amnesty to provide some kind of eventual pathway to citizenship?
Right, sure. Right.
So the DACA program, by the way, ends in March. At the beginning of March,
and then they can be deported.
They could be
right. So something has to happen.
Yeah,
you know, I'm torn on that. I'll be honest with you, Ray. I don't know how you feel about it. You have people who were brought here by adults,
mm-hmm,
as children, and this is the only country they've ever known. Is it? Yes, they're here illegally. I'll give you that. But at the same time, you have to factor in, is it humane to kick them out of the country? You know what I'm saying? When they were brought here at no fault of their own. That tears at me.
Let me ask you this question. If you were, and Ray, you too, if you guys were really sold that because of the wall or because of other border security issues, that the border was actually being sealed up and that people were not coming across illegally, would you feel better or different about then dealing with these 700,000 or so young and getting older Dreamers? Because it seems to me what makes people most upset is Democrats like to talk, yes, we're going to do the border, we're going to get security around our country, and then we want amnesty for all these people. They end up doing all the amnesty for the people,
right,
and they never get to the border wall or to the border
security. Go ahead.
Well, I would feel 100% better if indeed the Democrats were dealing honestly. I think President Trump is going to make that deal, Tim. You know, I think he is going to come to some accommodation with the Democrats because – It's not going to be a good thing to have a bunch of mass deportations taking place in late March, April, May, June. He wants to stay away from that for a lot of obvious reasons. I think he's going to make the deal if he can legitimately get the money he needs to move forward with the wall. He's got to have Democratic help to get that done, right? So the deal is going to be on the table. I think it's going to be done and made.
to these folks, the Dreamers or the DACA folks, do they get? I know I keep calling them the DACA folks. I don't know what else to call them. Sorry, Dreamers. That's what
young illegals. Dreamers.
Young illegals. Do they? Do you mention pathway to citizenship, Ray? We're talking about full citizenship to vote and everything?
Yeah, presumably. Yeah,
there's only one type of citizenship. Well, I mean, if you get citizenship, you get.
Is a green card person they're
legal resident.
They're not citizens.
So there's the green card would be a legal resident.
Yes.
They can live here legally, but they can't vote.
Right.
Yes.
True? But then they have to get the green card.
It's temporary.
Re-upped, yep. Right? Anyway.
Well, I don't know. Fred is a green card holder. Does he have to go back and have it re-upped every so often? I don't know.
I think you probably would. Maybe it's 10 years. I don't know. We're speaking out of ignorance here, but we can find that out. You know the guy to ask.
I do. I could.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know him.
All right. Ray, do you sympathize with the plight of the
– I basically agree 100% with what you said. And I think politically, just leaving – compassion out of it, just politically, the Republicans, President Trump, doesn't want on his desk, you know, 5,000, 10,000 deportations a month because they didn't do something to solve the problem. You just don't want that in election year. I'm leaving compassion out of it because I agree with you, Tim. They are illegal, but they were brought here as children and so on. I think some accommodation ought to be made if indeed you can get the money to start building the wall, because this really, that's the number one reason, I suppose, that a lot of people voted for the president, because he said build the wall so many times. He needs the money to do it. I think he's going to make this deal.
I guess Mexico's not paying for it.
I haven't heard that from him in a while.
I haven't heard that in a while, no.
No, I haven't heard that. All right, next up.
I'd like to talk to you all about something. You're going to call this one from the Dumb and Dumber files, if we could.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
So Harvard, since we're talking about not knowing a whole lot, wants to take a position where it wants to get away with all discrimination. It does not want discrimination. In fact, if you're caught on Harvard's campus and you are caught discriminating, besides maybe getting kicked out, but you cannot run for leadership. You cannot be put in one of the honor societies. Guess who the first organization on Harvard's campus to cave is?
Yeah.
It's the sorority Kappa Kappa Gamma. Why? Because they don't allow men.
What?
So Kappa Kappa Gamma has ditched its national organization and it's formed a new gender-neutral social club. Called the Fleur-de-Lis.
Oh,
the
good
what?
Night. What?
The Fleur-de-Lis, you know, like the New right. Orleans Saints.
Right.
That's what
right.
they're calling their new
so they,
social
they,
club.
You're saying they're disbanding their sorority?
Yes. This sorority, Harvard sorority, goes co-ed because the administration promises to discriminate against all women's clubs.
Oh, brother.
Okay.
Dumb
Have we
dumb.
Gone over the edge or what?
A long time ago, actually.
True.
We're in free fall.
Yeah. You can't – male and female.
They're discriminating. You can't – you know. We don't allow men. We don't allow women.
All right. We're out of time. Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Probably a good thing that we're out of time here. Ray, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Ray.
My thanks to Steve Jordahl, Fred Jackson, and – Brent Creeley. Walker Wildman will be back tomorrow, as will Ed Battagliano. So we'll see you back here, folks. Have a great day, and keep listening to AFR.